Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you and magnify you. Lord, we're asking God that you would now just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to conclude this wonderful epistle, this wonderful book that Paul wrote to the Philippian church. It's going to conclude this evening, and I'm excited. I believe there's a whole lot in verses 9 through 23. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 9 through 23. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So I want your attention on the screen here, and I've entitled this evening's message, Learn to be Abound and to be Abased. Learn to be abound and to be abased. You see, before we get into this subject matter, Paul is basically sharing now to the Philippian church that when he was apprehended, the time that he was writing many of his epistles from prison, he went on to say that there were many times where he abounded in the Lord, where he was free to preach the gospel and an abundance of blessings would come in, and he would just be in content of what God was doing. But then he goes on to further say that he learned to be abased, meaning when he was in prison, when he didn't have much to eat, he was beaten, he was persecuted, but yet he still continued. He still persevered. He still said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so many of us Christians come to crossroads in our life where many times we'll feel that God is just blessing us immensely, and then we'll be challenged down the road. I could recall in 2008, as a realtor, that's my first profession, the market crashed. It crashed around the world. And many, many real estate agents during that time had to find another occupation. Why? Because every other home was almost a foreclosure, especially in the East Lake area. And many of the Riverside homes were foreclosed. And it was a time of a whole lot of heaviness and sorrow in the finance world. And even our home, we struggled to keep our home during that time. But God saw us through. You see, there are going to be times when we will be on the mountaintop with God, and then God will then allow us to go into the valley. And so this is where I got this topic. Let's go back here to the topic right up here, is learn. Learn. We're going to learn through the scripture that Paul shared with us in these epistles 2,000 years ago. Learn to be abound and to be abased. Praise God. Praise God. So turn with me to chapter 4 of Philippians, and let's read verses 9 through 23. And here we go. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, that I may speak in regard to need. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Praise God. Now that I seek the gift, because he doesn't. He went on to say, saints of God, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which from you, a sweet, look at this, these things were sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Many have that written on our refrigerator door. Many of us have it highlighted in our Bibles. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Praise God and amen and amen. So let's break this down, saints of God, tonight. Let's go now to verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul had lived out and was continuing to live out his words so he could urge the believers, what? To put into practice what they had learned from him, from his teaching and his training. You see, my friends, the scriptures were not compiled into a Bible until much later, and we understand this. So the standards of belief and behavior were embodied in the teachings and the example of those that had authority at the time, which Paul was the authority. He was the apostle sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to establish this wonderful church. Oh, that's right. He established many churches in that region. You see, my friends, Paul, he could speak confidently to people, and people could follow his example. Why? Because he was following Christ's example. Oh, yes, he was. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this, what it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians right here. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me just as I also what? Imitate Christ. That was the key. Once again, they didn't have the New Testament just yet. So they looked at Paul the apostle, and they wanted to emulate him. They wanted to walk in the ways he was walking. Why? Because he honored God. He gave God all the glory and praise. He walked in humility. He walked in a way like no others. Oh, that's right, saints of God. And God is calling us no differently to walk humbly before God. That's right. To minister to those who are in need spiritually, physically, financially. Can we bless those who are in need? That's what we're called to do. And this is what Paul, he exemplified this wonderful attribute that was Christ-like. And he blessed many during this time, saints of God. Oh, that's right. You see, if the believers would keep on practicing the virtues that Paul cited above, they would experience the God of peace. Oh, that's right. There's joy and peace when you serve the Lord. God is the source of peace for all believers. I hope you know that, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Wow. Wow. So there was a moment there. There was a moment there, saints of God. Listen, Epaphroditus, had been sent to Rome from Philippi with a generous financial gift for Paul. And it had come during a time of need. Paul's words sound harsh, but that harshness sense of God is absent in the Greek. The second phrase explains that the church had always been concerned for Paul. Always, always. Because he was such a huge man of God. But didn't have the chance to help. When he was in prison, the guards and all that that held him captive would sometimes not allow those things to enter into where he was. But whatever the reason for that lack sense of God, that opportunity, Paul rejoiced not only at the gift and God's wondrous provision for his needs, but he also, for the church who cared so much about him, had not forgotten him. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, there's going to be people in our church that will probably leave and move on to other ministries or whatever. We are to never forget them. We are to always pray for them. Listen, if you prayed for them while they were with us, can we still pray for them when they're not with us? You see, this, the churches around this whole region continued to pray for Paul, even though Paul could not be there with them. But Paul did a great job in establishing the foundation. He was the pillar. He was the cornerstone that Christ allowed him to establish the churches in that region. And because of that obedience, the gospel has reached us 2,000 years later. Aren't you so blessed that there was a man named Paul? Paul, who went through persecution, who went through beatings, who went through robbery. This man literally almost lost his life several times. And it was for the gospel's sake. It was that you and I, in 2022, would still receive the word of God that was written 2,000 years ago by this wonderful man. And so, saints of God, though Paul never asked for money, he never asked for money for himself. He accepted the Philippians' gift because they gave it willingly and because he was in need. Oh, that's right. Paul wrote that he didn't accept these gifts from the Corinthian church because he didn't want to be accused of preaching only to get money. Hallelujah. But look what was written here when he wrote to the Corinthians. Let's go there real quickly. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 9:16 through 18. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Wow. Let me just explain this in a nutshell. You know, there's wonderful ministries, but many of them always have something to sell. They want to sell. You could go to wonderful teachers that preach the gospel, but you can't get a free download of their sermons. Why? Because they want to put a price tag on it. They're selling the gospel to you. Paul never sold anything. And this is where we try to emulate no differently. You can go to our website at AmazingGraceChristianFellowship.com, all one word, or Acts 2-38-39.com. That will still get you there to our website. Everything we have there, we freely give it away. Our PowerPoints, we give away our sermons. You can link to the YouTube recordings and Facebook, all that, we give it away. Why? Because it was freely given to us. God freely gave us the word. So what do? We give it right back out, no differently. Why should we make a market? The last thing I would want would Jesus come to our church and turn over the tables like he did at the temple times when they were making a market out of the household of faith. Saints of God, we should never ever think that we're in this as a business. We're in it to save souls. We're in it to see saints delivered that were bound up for many years, that are going through afflictions, that are going through marital situations, that are going through emotional, some of them are even in depression. The church needs to be that lifeline. The church needs to be the power. The church needs to be the one that will lift them up and reestablish their walk with Christ. We need to be the encourager. Can I get an amen in the house? So that's what God has called us. He has called you for such a time as this, saints of God. And so we need to be about our Father's business. Why? But Paul maintained that it was a church's responsibility to support God's ministers. Praise God. Praise God. And this is what he wrote in 1 Corinthians. Let's go back here to the Word of God. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Yes. But here's the key to this. You go to God. The way it works, and the way it works for us here at Amazing Grace, is you go to God with all your needs. Then God puts it on the hearts to those who would bless the ministry, that would bless those needs. Yeah, you don't fleece the flock. You know, you don't come with any gimmicks. You know, $100 line here, $250 line here. Oh, you know what? We got the $1 lines here. Oh, yeah, we need a building fund. You know, we need an outreach fund. Oh, we need this and that. My goodness. Those are well-intended things for a ministry. I get that. But we should never go before the congregation and try to fleece them and manipulate them or put basically a yoke on them if they're not giving. No, you take it to God. You take it to the Lord Jesus. We just read, God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. You need to understand needs, not greeds. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. We serve a mighty God, saints. Let's move on now to the next verse. In verse 11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Content. Content. Paul was always in content. That's right. You see, saints, at this point, Paul took pains to make sure that his words were not misunderstood. Well, that's right. You see, the fact that the Philippians had not sent help sooner did not mean that Paul had been disappointed in them or that he had been put in desperate straits at that time. Oh, no. Paul never complained. He never said, oh, man, wow, how come they're not supporting me? No, it was not that at all. Instead, he had learned an important secret to the Christian life that he could get along happily with whatever he had. Oh, that's right. Listen, saints, sometimes the things that are around you can go a lot farther than the things that someone just blesses you with. Oh, that's right. And Paul was a great example of that. Oh, that's right. Whether much or it was little, it didn't matter. Paul had learned his such contentment is not a natural human response. Oh, that's right. It's got to be about God, about the relationship that we have with the Lord. It can't be through physical means or natural means. Everything that God does in our life is supernatural. He puts His super on our natural, praise God. You see, my friends, Paul explained that his sufficiency was in Christ alone, who provides strength to cope with all circumstances. How many believe that? And so how do we get to that lofty goal of contentment, saints of God? That's a great question, isn't it? It is important for believers to realize that the biblical contentment is not fatalism or acquiescence to one's lot in life. Such thinking, saints of God, would smother God's ongoing guidance. Rather, contentment involves one's perspective on life. To have real contentment, remember that everything belongs to God and that we have is a gift from everything we have is a gift. Be thankful for what we have, not coveting what others have. Ask for wisdom to use wisely, hallelujah, what we do have. And pray for grace to let go of the desire for what we don't have, saints of God. Trust in God to meet our needs. How many believe that? Praise God. Amen. Let's move on, saints of God, to verse 12. I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to what? Suffer need. Wow. That's it in a nutshell with Paul. Oh, that's right. Paul understood these things, saints of God. Wow. Wow. You see, saints, the following verses give a bit of Paul's personal testimony. Paul knew what it was like to live on almost nothing. Nothing. Oh, that's right. Look at this. I'm going to show you what he wrote in 1 Corinthians. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have what? Been made as the filth of the world, the offscorn of all things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Wow. Wow, saints. That's amazing, huh? That's amazing. Look what else he wrote here in 2 Corinthians. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness. Look at this. In fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, meaning patience, by kindness of the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet what? True. Look at this. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Wow. Wow. Paul says it all right there, saints of God. And although, saints, he taught that the churches should support their leaders, Paul himself did not demand salaries from the churches that he had planted. Oh, no. This man walked in humility. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 13. He goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Strengthens me, saints of God. You see, Paul's contentment was not gained through stoic self-discipline. He didn't beat himself to line up to the things that God wanted him to do. Instead, it was through Christ alone. In every possible circumstance, saints of God, Paul could truly be content. Why? Because he did not let outward circumstances determine his attitude. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed who the man Paul was? Saints, Christ was given him the strength to endure, to continue with his ministry and the work of spreading the gospel, whether he had plenty or he was in need. Paul had complete confidence that no matter what the circumstance was, saints of God, Christ would give them the strength to meet it. Aren't you so blessed to know that? That God, if God is for us, who could be against us? How many of you can honestly say that whatever you were challenged with in the past, present, or maybe now coming in the future, that God would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory, that God would fight our battle, that God would go before us? The Bible says, if God be for you, who could be against you? You see, we have to proclaim the goodness of God. We got to let others know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. That God can meet our need. That God can heal our bodies. That God can lift us up from the miry clay. That God can restore our minds where one time it was in the gutter. Oh, that's right. God can do the miraculous in your life. All you have to do is come with a repentant heart and say, oh God, forgive me of my sins. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may be heaven bound and now a hell to shun. Praise God. That's all it takes is a step of faith, my friends. Let's move on to verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well. You shared in my distress. Praise God. Praise God. Many shared in his distress. You see, saints, the Philippians shared in Paul's financial support while he was in prison, thus communicating their sympathy with him. Now, the sense of this phrase, lost, it was lost in the English translation. It's basically a closeness between the apostle and the Philippian believers. They had a unity there. And this is why we need each other in today's church. We need fellowships around this country that would cling on to one another, that would help one another, that would lift one another up. But I've seen the good, the bad, and also the ugly in church. And we should never be on that other spectrum of ugly and bad. We need to strive for perfection. We need to learn to die to self and to live for Christ and to share our lives with others so that they can be a blessing, saints of God. You see, that they had been willing to share in his present difficulty refers to having fellowship with them, identifying with the apostle on behalf of his work of the gospel. Paul commended them in what he wrote in many, many epistles. Now, let's move on now to verse 15 and 16. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. You see, these were praying saints. They knew what Paul needed. Paul didn't have to cry out and ask. God already saw the need, and God put it on the hearts. He put it on the hearts of the saints. Saints, the sharing the Philippians had done with Paul refers to their partnership with him, revealed in the practical expression of financial support. They did it because they knew that this man had risked it all, his life. He has given his whole life to Christ for the greater cause of man. And so they felt obligated, not a burden, but they knew that it was for a great purpose. And all ministers that have that pure heart like Paul, that want to see lives change and transform, they're the ones that people, that God uses to bless them. Praise God. Now, saints of God, only the Philippian church had been ready to give financial help to Paul while he was ministering to them. And then when he traveled on from Macedonia to minister to other places, they just had a tremendous love for him. And they knew that there was results that would take place. Souls being saved, churches being planted, lives changing for the good. You see, saints of God, it seems that other churches did not support Paul's ministry later, but that the Philippians had been especially attentive and generous, sending gifts, not only while Paul was in Thessalonica, but later when he was in Corinth as well. Praise God, praise God. I want you to see something in 2 Corinthians here. Look at this. When I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. Praise God. Praise God. You see that? You see that? God supplied his need. God lifted him up. God knew what he needed. Listen, he wasn't asking for anything. But God understood his need, and God needed him to complete the task. Let me just say this, saints of God. Whatever the assignment that God has in your life, God will supply the need. God will go before you. God will open up doors that no one can shut and shut all the doors that no man can open. God will establish your feet. God will give you high favor from Him, from above. How many know that you're highly favored by God? Why? Because He has a plan for your life. And all you have to do is walk in faith. All you got to do is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's move on now to verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Praise God. Praise God. You see where his heart is? His heart's in the right place. Paul made it clear that his thankfulness for the Philippians' generosity was not a veiled request for more. Instead, Paul focused on what their good works on his behalf were benefiting. Praise God. It was all about what God was doing, because it was all about heaven's sake. It was about the kingdom principle. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, Paul knew that they would receive a well-earned reward because of their kindness. And when we give those in need, saints of God, we benefit as well as the receiver. As we grow, praise God, in the grace of giving, God continues to replenish all the things so that we would continue to give because of the faithfulness of God who has given us everything. You know that we have a salvation we could not earn, and God graciously granted us salvation. We owe Him a debt we cannot pay back. And so I shared Sunday this little medallion that you probably all see me wearing. You can't see it from where you're at, but I bought it in Israel. It's a widow's mite. A widow's mite. And Jesus shouted from the rooftop. Everyone was giving out of their abundance, but this one little old lady came and dropped one of these in the basket. It was a widow's mite. According to the money back in that day, what a widow's mite is, it's a quarter of a penny. And Jesus shouted out loud that this is all she had, and she gave it all. That quarter of a penny, all she had, she gave it all. And according to Jesus, He said that she gave the most of all. So I wear this as a reminder. It's a reminder, my friends, that all that I have given it to Christ. It's a reminder that He called me out of darkness into His marvelous light. It's a reminder to me that I was in a pit of despair, and He pulled me out from the miry clay, and I had nothing to repay Him back for His graciousness. And so I have given Him all of my life to use me until He comes for all of us. And so this is a reminder to me that, Lord, I have nothing to pay You back, but what I do have is my life that I've given to You, that You would use it the way You see fit, and that I would continue to praise You and glorify You and magnify You. Hallelujah! Thank You, Jesus. Now, let's look at this one scripture that He wrote in 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So there were many others that contributed to His success, saints of God. Oh, that's right. Look what He wrote here in 2 Corinthians 9:14. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. You see, they remember, saints of God, they remembered everything that Paul did for them, and they appreciated. The Philippians appreciated, and so did Paul. Paul appreciated the Philippians' spirit of love. Why? And the devotion more than their gifts. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 18. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Wow. Wow, that's so awesome. That was a wonderful report, saints of God. That's right. This was Paul's acknowledgement that he had received the Philippians' most recent gifts and that Epaphroditus had faithfully fulfilled this mission. Praise God, saints of God. Their generous gift was more than Paul needed. Surely the Philippian church rejoiced that they had been able to meet Paul's needs. Praise God. Paul described the Philippians' gift as a sweet-smelling aroma. Their very gifts were acts of worship. And God was the true recipient. Praise God. Praise God. They had given in faith, not so much to Paul, but as to God. And that should be the ultimate goal of every act of love, care, and concern, saints of God. Every act of charity. That we would be a blessing, hallelujah, to please the Lord Jesus Christ. To please God. How many believe that at home? Oh, yes. Amen. Look what Paul wrote in Hebrews right here. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this. What you do for Christ, that's what's going to last throughout eternity. Oh, that's right. Listen, we can obtain many accolades, many achievements here on earth. But they are all temporary. And a lot of it is going to stay right behind here on this earth and get burned up one day. But what you do for Christ is going to last. When you minister to souls, when you shared the gospel, when you went and prayed, when you went and fed them and clothed them, when you prayed for healing for their bodies, when you prayed that God would deliver their mind and give it back to them, when you prayed for the prodigals, when you prayed for the lost, when you fed the homeless, when you went and visited those who were in the hospital. Oh yes, God's going to remember everything that we've done, and He will reward you accordingly, saints of God. Praise God, praise God. Let's move on. We're coming in for a close. Let's move on to verse 19. And my God, say that with me at home, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing, saints? You see, the same God who had taken care of Paul, who would also supply all their needs. Praise God. The Philippian church was not wealthy. God had met Paul's need through the generosity of the Philippian church. Praise God. You see, saints, God would more than repay that generosity by supplying the needs, not the greeds, but the needs of the Philippian church. And not only would God supply all their needs, but He would do it from His glorious riches. That's right. Endless riches that God has. Praise God. I'd rather receive God's riches and blessings than anything here on this earth can offer. Praise God. You see, my friends, believers cannot begin to comprehend God's riches and glory. Why? Because His riches are limitless. They're infinite. It is not from that storehouse that believers' needs are met. Then the Philippian believers could rest assured that God would indeed meet every need, no matter how large, no matter how desperate or hopeless it seemed. God would take care of that need. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to the next verse. Verse 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now as Paul is signing off, he's always remembering the saints. He's always glorifying God. He's always saying, remember, remember that we serve an eternal God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints of God, God the Father was both Paul's God and the Philippians' God. And He is also our God. Praise God. And God who supplied Paul's needs and met the Philippians' needs in the same yesterday, today, and forever, He promises to meet our needs as well. 2,000 years later, has He been good to you, saints? He's been good to me. Oh, yes, He has. He has supplied all of our needs. Praise God. He has given us our church. He has given us all the equipment we need to reach souls that would go around the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. To God belongs all glory forever and ever, saints of God. Paul broke into a doxology of praise as he remembered God's great love and provision. And we need to do no differently. Can I get an amen? We need to shout it out loud. We need to testify how good God has been in our life. God has saved us from the guttermost to the uttermost. God delivered us from darkness into His marvelous light. God came for you and I, hallelujah, for such a time as this. He's the one that set us upon a solid ground, praise God. He has delivered our mind, our heart, our body, our souls, hallelujah. We were bound up. Many of us were bound up. We were afflicted. Oh yes, many of us were addicted to all the things of this life would offer us, especially through a demonic influence. And yet God came and severed our souls from these things and set us free. For the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Praise God. Praise God. So God alone deserves all the glory from His creation. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's move on to verse 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so glad that Paul remembered? Paul sent his personal greetings to all the Christians in the Philippian church. And he probably knew each by name. Praise God. In addition, saints of God, the brothers with Paul in Rome, his co-workers, such as Timothy, also sent their greetings to the Philippians church. Amen. 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 Look at verse 22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Paul expanded his message to include a greeting from all the other Christians. That is, all the believers, especially in the Roman region, the Roman churches, some of whom are already probably listed in the book of Romans. We don't have time to go into that. And so the last verse is this verse. Verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Praise God. You see, saints, this letter to the Philippians began and ends with grace. Grace. It's by His grace we are saved through faith. Paul had experienced God's undeserved favor. Oh, yes. You got to remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. At one time, he was on his way to Damascus with letters to apprehend many of the Christians that were called the Way at that time, to kill them, to burn them at the stake, to feed them to lions in the gladiator arenas. But God had a plan for his life. And many of us were no different. Many of us mocked God. We cursed God. Oh, that's right. And we didn't know what we were doing. But yet God's grace, God's undeserved favor, hallelujah. And saints, he never tired of praying. Paul never did. Of others would also experience that grace. Saints, in many ways, the Philippian church was a model congregation. It was made up of many different kinds of people who were learning to work together. Paul recognized, however, that problems would arise. So in this thank you letter, he prepared the Philippian saints of God for potential difficulties that might they encounter. And though a prisoner in Rome, Paul had learned the true secret of joy and peace, imitating Christ and serving others. How? By focusing our minds on Christ, we will learn unity, humility, joy, and peace. We will also, saints of God, be motivated to live for Him. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, that's right. Saints, this was a wonderful epistle. And we have come to the end of this epistle. But I'm here to remind you that Jesus, 2,000 years later, said that we would see perilous times. And we're seeing perilous times right now. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. We're seeing deception in the world and in the church. Our nation alone is divided in half. Some are with the conservative Christians, the others are with the liberal progressive. It's divided. And there's no common ground. And Jesus said that it would be chaotic in the last days. Well, that's right. We're seeing pandemics, pestilences. We're seeing famine. There are so many countries around the world that are starving. And my friends, we are now experiencing inflation that's beyond comprehension. I've heard it said that before summer arrives, our gas per gallon is going to be up to $10. Wow. It makes us wonder, should we ride a bike now? I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And I do know that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming again. And I truly believe that He will come and deliver the saints of God. He will come back for His church and remove us from this chaos. And then He will pour out what He's going to allow to happen, which would be the seven-year tribulation. Saints, we're at the brink. We're at the brink. There's over 500 prophetic scriptures that are now converging all at once, right before our eyes. It started when Israel became a nation in 1948. The clock now has been ticking. They're all back in the land. Zion is built up. Oh, that's right. And so the next greatest event that's going to take place, that the world is going to witness, it's going to be you and I, part of the living God's church, the born again, the Christian that has repented of their sins, that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that's been filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. We're the ones that are now heaven bound and the hell to shun. And He's coming back again. He's coming soon. Oh, that's right. And I have proof. It's found in the Word of God. Look at this. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to this church. He wrote verses 13 through 18. Read and ask God to give you eyes to see and ears to hear. In verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Wow, look at this. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Wow. Wow. It's going to be so fast. It's going to come unannounced to the world. But for us, we know the times and the seasons. And the season is that the signs that we see, I want you to catch this in your spirit. It's not about a timeline. We're not setting dates. It's about a sign line. Jesus said, look for the signs. Because when you see these things, look up, He said, for your redemption draws near. And that's us. He's coming back for us. He said, I go away and prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I will receive you to myself. Meaning, we're going to meet Him just like we saw in the clouds. Praise God, praise God. Now, this body of flesh, it's not going up. Why? Because we're confined to the law of gravity on this earth. So we need a body like Jesus that can just float away and meet Him in the air. It's got to be that fast. We're going to be changed. It's faster than the speed of light. Oh, that's right. And I have proof. what I'm saying right now. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Paul wrote to them and said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all what? We should all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed." Changed. Now, I'm going to pause right here. I want you to see that. You can still see this on your screen while I'm speaking to you. But it said, in the last trumpet. Well, the last trumpet is basically, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. And they blast 99 trumpet sounds in different types of scenarios during their ceremony. But the very last 100th blast is called the last trump, the last trumpet. That gives us a clue. It's like this. If I told you, hey, would you like to come over for some gobble gobble in November? What comes to mind? Thanksgiving, right? It's called an idiom. It connects. Well, this connects with the Feast of Trumpets, the last trumpet. So this September is a brand new 7-year Shemitah cycle, and it is the Feast of Trumpets. This is a rapture watch. Now, I'm not saying we're going on this Feast of Trumpets, but I would really have your hearts ready, because if he comes for us on that festival, we'll be out of here. I'm looking forward to it, and that's okay. If he doesn't come then, then we got to look out for the next year, and God will give us another year to do what he's called us to do. But let me just say this. The tribulation is 7 years long, and it only can begin in a brand new Shemitah cycle. So this Rosh Hashanah begins a brand new 7-year cycle. This is a clue. Because in the past history of starting a brand new 7 cycle, there's always been wars. Something always takes place during that first year. And so brace yourself. Brace yourself. Something is down the road. We're seeing everything in this world. We're seeing the collapse of our constitution. We're seeing the collapse of how immoral this nation is. And I need you to be praying. Let's continue and read this. Look at this. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow. Listen, there's great hope for you. If you're watching, you logged in, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ before. Maybe God has drawn you to this evening as a divine appointment that you would give your heart to Christ. Listen, I'm going to show you a quick video depiction of what is going to take place when Jesus comes back for his church. And I'm praying that you will not be left behind as what we see in this next video. Let's take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come.
Well, my friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? My friends, this is a no-joke circumstance that we're about to see. It's going to be the greatest event the world will have ever encountered in our modern day generation. The rapture of the church, the taken away. And we don't live too far from an airbase, and we've noticed something, saints of God. You could probably hear it in the background. But every day now, there are planes and planes, military planes, flying over us. I don't know what they're preparing for, but I know that there's war right now. There's the drumbeats of war. And we need to pray for this nation. We need to pray that God will have mercy. But I'm praying right now for those who are watching that have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's right. There's an opportunity that you too can receive Jesus and have your faith, your salvation sealed by the grace of God. Well, that's right. Look what Peter, the apostle, Luke wrote this down in the book of Acts. And Peter, who denied Jesus three times, was empowered by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was the fourth festival. God poured out His Holy Spirit on 120. And that 120 spread throughout the ages. And we are here because of that event. It's called the ecclesia of the church, the birth of the church. Let's look at this for right now. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, Peter spoke to millions that were there. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins." That means forgiveness of sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children, and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that? Huh? How many is so blessed to know that God is for us? God is for you. God wants to do the miraculous in your life. Listen, I'm going to ask right now the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, right now, allow God to do the miraculous in your life. Bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Someone just gave their heart. Listen, down below is our website. Please reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to lead you to a church that will teach the unadulterated Word of God. And also, my friends, I want to thank and praise God for all the faithful people that give to this ministry. Just like we read today, they give because they love God and they love what God is doing in our ministry. So down below, you'll see that donations are deeply appreciated. God bless you. And listen, I'm looking forward to seeing you all this Sunday at 10 o'clock. That's our new time now. We're going to have a lunch in the fellowship hall, and then we're going to have our healing rooms. There's great testimonies. Don't have time to go in through them all. But come and receive what God has for you that day. And so, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, I leave you this benediction before I sign off. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California, this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.